Hei, og velkommen til NRK Betas podcast nummer 17. Mitt navn er Ståle Grut, og i denne episoden så intervjuer vi bloggeren Ben Thompson. Han har bakgrunn fra selskap som Microsoft og Apple, men har valgt en litt annen karrierevei enn de fleste som jobber i teknologibransjen. For han lever nemlig av bloggen sin Stratechery, som tar for seg strategi, teknologi og media. Siden april i 2014 så har han samlet for 1000 abonnenter som følger det han skriver nærmest som en guru. Så mange er det som betaler nå rundt 800 kroner i året for å lese det han skriver, at han kan leve av det. Han mener vi kommer til å se langt flere som kommer til å jobbe på den måten her i fremtiden. Jeg kan bare beklage at lydkvaliteten ikke er så bra som vi vanligvis etterstreber her hos NRK Betas podcast, men vi hadde dessverre ikke med oss podcastriggen til Bergen, hvor Thompson holdt foredrag under nordiske mediedager. Foretrekker du heller å lese dette intervjuet i ro og mak, så kan du gå inn på nrkbeta.no. Men om det her allerede har fengt interessen din, så bærer du nok over med at opptaket er som det. Vi hopper inn i samtalen vi, da jeg nettopp har spurt Thompson om hva som er bakgrunnen for Stratechery og den måten han har valgt å jobbe på.
I've been a long-time observer of technology. Certainly have my own view of the world and how it works, and I think that there's a lot of blogs and publications covering the product side of technology, very well covered. And I felt there was a vacuum when it came to covering the business side and strategy, and that's certainly that's where tech and media really intersects. And so I thought there was a real opportunity to kind of fill that, and it turned out there was. And not only was there, but I think the speed with which I was able to kind of get a viable sized audience was surprising even to me. I mean, the internet is, it's viewed at with so much fear and trepidation by most people in the media, but it's incredibly powerful too. You just, have to figure out how to leverage it. And that worked out for me.
Yeah. You talk a lot about scale in the presentation. What do you think that what could that mean for markets like Norway, for instance, where they're scale is harder?
Yeah, well, it goes both ways. In some respects, Norway's media companies are in better shape than anywhere else because they're competing for Norwegian-speaking customers, which is a smaller group, which means there's less competition. In the English-speaking world, I think it's much more difficult because there's so many more competitors because the market's so much bigger. And so, in some respects, I think it's actually an advantage. And the other thing, too, is because Norway is a relative heterogeneous market, you have a market of 5 million or so, which is small relative to the United States. The United States was never one market. The United States has always been a very fractured market with lots of small papers and small TV stations serving finite geographic areas. And in that context, 5 million is actually very large. So you have a relatively large, relatively homogeneous market that speaks a relatively unique language. And I think that in some respects, Norway's media companies' prospects are better just for that reason alone.
Yeah. And we see now a development where there seems to be like cuts in BuzzFeed and Mashable, and these kind of the big new scale companies are kind of, yeah, are they going back?
Well, you need to have a viable business model. I think any company, there was two kind of stages. The first was the shift to internet, but now then there's a shift to mobile. And anyone who built a business in that first stage on display advertising is going to struggle now. I think Mashable probably goes in that category. BuzzFeed, I think, is a little more complicated. They, as they talked about yesterday, their model was a good model, but it didn't scale. You have to actually make all those native ads and things like that. And now I think they're focusing on being a pure distributed content platform where, kind of, I talked about today, what Facebook sells ads on their behalf, what, Snapchat sells ads on their behalf, basically. And so I think they spent the last year really pivoting to that. Jonah Peretti gave an interview about a year ago where he kind of signaled this. And so I suspect the revenue numbers are no one knows for sure what they are, but I suspect the projections were based on the old model of them creating advertising for partners, and they're shifting to a new model, and that would maybe cause a reset, but probably has higher growth prospects.
Yeah.
So I think they're probably okay.
You are kind of an independent analyst that cover a specific field. Do you follow others like Thomas Bechtel?
Thomas Bechtel is very good. I think he, I don't know the specifics of his model. But yeah, it's, I mean, it's relatively nascent. I mean, I think what makes previously independent people made most money from consulting, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas I do make the vast majority of my income from subscriptions. Mm. And I think it's one of those things that's just much more viable today than it was before. The technology is there to manage this sort of stuff. You can get so much reach through platforms like Twitter and Facebook to build an audience. And hopefully I'm the first of many. There, I mean, there are other ones for sure. You know, I think there's a guy who started about the same time I did named Luke Timmerman about biotech, for example.
Yeah.
And he's very successful. So I'm confident that this model will become more and more prevalent. It's small comfort to large media organizations in some respects, because in part the ability to charge is through providing uniqueness, which is part and tied to the individual. But that doesn't, and you could argue how many people can there be in tech, for example.
Yeah.
But I would argue there's so many niches out there. You know, who's the best model railway writer in the world?
Yeah.
And if you're a model railway enthusiast, you have to read this guy, right?
Yeah.
And I think we'll see more and more.
And have you kind of your decision not working at a company, for instance, or would you do you prefer to be on your own, so to say? Or?
Yeah, I certainly see no reason to change it now. I mean, it allows me certainly a degree of independence, and you know, I can write about what I want and whatever opinion I want. You know, there's certainly a flexibility comes with it. It's difficult, though. I mean, I have to take care of all the day-to-day stuff of running a business. And I have four deadlines a week because I write, you know, 4 days a week. And so it's flexible, but it's also stricter in some respects. Like,
yeah.
There's no days off.
Exactly. So. How's the community you're building around your business? How important is that for...
Well, I mean, my most important marketing is... sorry, I'm talking very loudly. My most important marketing is word of mouth, is people telling people that this is worth your time and effort, you know, or your money. I think the way it usually works is someone encounters my site, whether it's through Facebook or Twitter or an email, and they find the articles good, and maybe they click through, or they come back another time, and they start to realize there's lots of stuff that they want to read, and then they see there's more, and they're like, I'm not going to pay for text on the internet.
Yeah.
But more and more they want to know what I think about something, and it's only available for pay. And then you sign up, and maybe I'll do it for a month just to read all stuff I want to read. And then I feel like I have 20 chances to prove to you that it's worth your time and money.
Yeah.
So
you do a lot of conversation with people based on the things you write. Where is that an important
like in companies
part?
Like that?
No, oh, I'm for like your audience.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I certainly, you know, I have a message board I interact with some number of people. I try to read and respond to all my email from members in particular. Like, there's a specific membership email account.
Oh yeah.
And then I try to be, you know, as interactive as I can on Twitter. That's probably the main format. And yeah, certainly I think, you know, I only scale so far, but I do try to be as attentive to my members as I can. And it's great. I mean, people, one of the great things about writing for tech, good or bad, is people tend to be very exact, and you have to, you're wrong about something, they'll let you know.
Yeah.
And which is great. I mean, it really is important to me that something I take a lot of pride in is I will write about when I'm wrong and explain what I got wrong and why did I get it wrong and things going forward. And to me, that's just so critical. Like, the most important thing is not what you know. It's knowing the things you don't know and being willing to say when you're wrong. And I think that's something that's important to me, and my members are important in holding me to that.
Yeah. Do you have readers from places where you didn't expect them to come from?
Oh, for sure. I mean, even this week, I've been very surprised the number of people, you know, at this conference that come up and said they're members. I don't track that stuff super closely. I probably should. It's more, one thing I like about the model, and it's relatively inexpensive. I mean, there's Wall Street like letters that are thousands of dollars to subscribe to, for example. But I like the idea of not caring about any, I care about my readers, but if someone gets angry and cancels a subscription, it doesn't really have any effect on me.
Yeah.
And that's a very liberating sort of place to be. I just write, I have a very high standard for myself that people are paying and I have to deliver quality stuff, but I'm also not worried about offending people.
Oh. So, Would you, Ben Evans, for instance, which is very specified on mobile, he was an analyst but then went as a partner in Andreessen Horowitz. Is that something you see yourself doing in sort of that role as an investor and analyst? Yeah, kind of?
I don't think so. I mean, the challenge is once you're, you know, at a company, they want, to some degree, the best stuff for yourself. I mean, obviously, Andreessen Horowitz is very outward-facing and gives a lot of stuff, but, I mean, I'm sure he's a brilliant guy. I'm sure he does great work, but he has to spend a lot of time presenting to corporate partners, for example.
Yeah.
I think I have a little bit more of the kind of the journalistic bug, and I don't do journalism reporting the news per se. It's analysis. But I'm, I think, more interested in broader reach. And I think what I do now enables that. The more, I think, interesting question that then would be, would I go work for like a big, you know, paper or magazine? But then you're, you know, being independent is pretty great as well.
So. Yeah, because you're saying that around the strategy bit is where the tech and media intersect, and that was David Carr, for instance, was one of the most important people dissecting this and explaining it to the public.
Right.
I mean, I could.
New York Times is not offering me a job, but if they offer me a job, I could reach a lot more people and be much more influential.
Yeah.
I'd make a lot less money.
But do you also see like covering this could be like explaining it to people? But
yeah, no, certainly. I think I do think there's an explanatory aspect, but also it's in some respects I mentioned I've lived in and been fascinated by technology for a very long time, and Strategery is in some respects a journal of my continual dive into and attempt to understand this new world. And I'm just documenting it as I go.
Tusen takk til Ben Thomsen, som du kan lese mer av på strategery.com og i et intervju på nrkbeta.no. Hvis du vil høre mer av han, så kan du sjekke ut podcasten han gjorde sammen med Ezra Klein i Vox for en tid tilbake. De snakker i nærmere 90 minutter om hva som skal til for å klare seg i mediebransjen nå til dags. Tusen takk for at du hørte på NRK Beta sin podcast. Send oss gjerne tilbakemeldinger og tips på nrkbeta@nrk.no eller via andre sosiale medier. Mitt navn er Ståle Grut. Vi høres.